Hello, everyone. It's George from Ireland. The news from yesterday surprised everyone, and that is a breakthrough by the rebels in Syrian civil war. To remind you, the civil war has been going on for 13 and a half years. Nobody thought it would go on so long. It's an Arab Spring conflict, which is still being fought. Remember, it broke out in Libya as well. The Libyan civil war still bubbles on. The only regimes overthrown were Gaddafi's in Libya, Ben Ali's in Tunisia. And indeed, Mubarak's in Egypt. And ironically, Ben Ali's is one of the most moderate in the Middle East, not even that brutal. So it's the really savage ones like the Assad crime family in Syria that's clung on. And it looked like it might be toppled in 2015, but it was enormous military support from Russia, particularly the Air Force, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, Hezbollah, and so on. So the Assad family has ruled since 1970. So Bashir al-Assad, his father, Hafez al-Assad, was commander of the Air Force when he overthrew the previous dictator and assumed power. So it's a secular regime. Now, bear in mind, the Assads belong to the Alawi, which is a faction of Shia Islam. Only about 10% of Syrians are Shia, but they've been dominant in Syria for centuries, managing to forge alliances with the Christians, perhaps another 10% of the population, the Druze, or maybe 3% of the population, a few of the Sunni Arabic speakers, some of the Kurds who are Sunni to a man, but tend not to identify with the Arabs too much, that Arabic is the only official language. And so some secular Sunnis have backed the Assad regime. So they used to hold these charade elections and so on. And I know of a chap who was elected something about 1995, but was barred from taking a seat by Hafez al-Assad on the basis he was too liberal. And in the late 90s, they're still having to swear allegiance to the president every time they played football and things like that. But they're allowed some liberty in the personal sphere, what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, stuff like that. So the different religions didn't have to live in fear. However, no dissent allowed, zero tolerance for political discussions, any ideas, calls for reform. So no fair elections, no fair trials, plenty of torture and so on. No right to demonstrate. Then there was a big attempted revolution in 2011, but Al-Qaeda types, they got involved, the Al-Nusra Front and so on. So the Assad regime would have you believe that everybody against him is ISIS. Now, some of them really are ISIS, as in the Islamic State in Iraq and Al-Shams, who would want to bring back the caliphate. Now, Russia's concentrated on eliminating the Free Syria Army, any democratic groups, trying to leave the West with a stark choice. Is either Assad or Al-Qaeda type organizations, on the basis that Western countries will conclude that Assad is the lesser of two evils. And in that, that's actually true. The Assad regime has on many occasions gassed its own people. And sometimes when they've known that ISIS is going to vandalize a Christian site or something like that, the Syrian army hasn't tried to save it, has just let them do it, because it redounds to their advantage, because people say what barbarians the enemies are. Now, various countries provided non-lethal aid to the insurgents. And, you know, the U.S. military has been part of Syria, it might say, but what's it got to do with them? Do they have any legal right to? And indeed, that's questionable. There have also been U.S., French and British airstrikes on Syrian military positions after the use of chemical weapons against Syrian civilians. Now, of course, the Assad regime will always claim it's ISIS has this. But when these are Russian manufactured poisons. Everybody knows that. It's only ever rebel held areas that get hit by it. But there's no lie so big that they won't tell. The other thing about Assad, the ophthalmologist, he's very placid, very distant. He's soft spoken. Probably someone probably never raises his voice. So it might seem reasonable, tranquil, all the rest of it, a very cerebral chap, but yet advocates for the most horrendously sadistic regime. And to give him his due, he does allow some freedom in the personal sphere, but it's still a very brutal regime. He's deliberately murdered thousands of his own civilians. Now, and I know ISIS would do the same, and they would take away that personal liberty. The sort of people I would like to see win in Syria, they're not going to win because they're not enough of them, and they're not brutal enough. And sadly, that's the kind of world we live in, that often the evilest people come out on top. Now, it's been a good moment for the Assad regime's enemies to make ground, because Assad is heavily reliant on allies. Hezbollah, this Shia militia in Lebanon, some call them a terrorist group, Iranian-backed, they've been pummeled by Israel. The Islamic Republic of Iran, they're on the back foot. All these airstrikes by Israel, they're always worried about full-scale war against Israel, have to husband their resources. Their economy is also reeling. Russia, its economy is cratering. They're at a critical point in Ukraine. They think it might be a decision point. They might break through, but they're suffering very heavy losses. How long can that be sustained? Trump could come in, the war could end or intensify even more. So they've got no capacity to spare. Well, they're desperate for North Korean troops, Iranian shells, and so on. So nobody can come to the aid of the Assad regime. Another point is China financially aided Syria. Not that they do very much trade with Syria, and Syria's a fairly poor country anyway, but they didn't want another victory for the West and regime change. And given China's economic situation, it can't really afford that. They're looking at threatening Taiwan. They don't want even more tension with the West. They have to look after their own problems first. Now, Turkey's had a very fractious relationship with Syria over the years. They almost went to war over a border dispute 30 years ago over Iskenderun, former Alexandretta, which the French colonial authorities gave to the Turks to keep them sweet before the Second World War. Sorry. Remember, France ruled Syria from 1918 to 1945. And that's why a lot of people in Syria spoke French till quite recently. And Assad's fluent in it, as is his wife, who's a British Syrian, did a degree in French and computer science. Assad's children were said to be studying in Moscow in 2017. I'm not sure if that's true or not. Then the city of Aleppo is really threatened by the rebels. Remember, that's the biggest city, not actually the capital, that's Damascus. So there's these constantly changing coalitions of rebels, like Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, okay, as in Freedom of Syria. So they made major gains, and it's taken the world by surprise. So they may well take Aleppo. So there's open fighting there. In some parts of Syria, life seemed almost normal. Now, Russia cared about Syria, a former Cold War ally, though it wasn't actually a communist system, and indeed the Communist Party was outlawed. So the Communist Party of the Soviet Union had no loyalty whatsoever towards foreign communists and would cooperate with you. So the Ba'athists in Iraq under Saddam Hussein, despite him killing thousands of communists, if he was willing to collaborate with the Soviets on other issues. So he wouldn't speak up for them. It seemed like that Assad had largely won, but you see how it's broken out anew. The country is very, very poor. It's wrecked. Many of its cities reduced to rubble. The economy is scarcely functioning. But in areas strongly controlled by the regime, as I say, life started to be not too bad. So I don't think the Assad regime is going to fall, at least not for a few months. But we'll see. But there's no one to come to his aid. So I could be wrong. So Turkey sometimes fall out of them very, very badly. And when the civil war broke out in 2011, we're demanding reform. And they said, we mean real reform, not the pretend reform you've been having before. Because Assad took office in the year 2000 when his father died. So Bashir al-Assad, he was 34. Remember, the Syrian constitution said one had to be at least 35 to be president. But despite that, they made Dr. Assad the president. It was originally meant to be his older brother, who was killed in a car crash several years earlier, who's become president. So, you know, became an unofficially hereditary position. These things can change very fast. So Assad, he's facing his most dangerous situation since 2015, really, because he's all on his own. But if he is overthrown, is that a better thing for the world? We may see. We're not quite sure. And the big question is, does Israel, do they want to be overthrown or not? There are Israeli airstrikes on Syria all the time for years. People don't hear about them in the Western world very much. People got thoroughly bored of the Syrian civil war. So obviously the situation's highly fluid. It's a bit unpredictable, but certainly it's going to be a lot more difficult for the Assad regime for at least several months. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you support me on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. And I would say the Turkish government, they see an opportunity because they don't like Assad as well. And, you know, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's party, they're more conservative Muslims, I wouldn't say fundamentalists, and they realize that the Assad regime is quite vulnerable. So they could win, And remember, there's a Turkic ethnic minority in Syria, and in order not to actually win, put themselves in a very strong negotiating position, make their favored groups gain a lot of ground, and then kind of negotiate from there. The Turkish army could come in again, could try and trash the Kurdish nationalists who control the northwestern corner of Syria. And the Kurdish nationalists seem to have had an unofficial truce with both sides, with the Assad regime and ISIS types. You don't attack us, we don't attack you. And that's become effectively part of this unrecognized state of Kurdistan, which is mostly in northern Iraq. Goodbye.